London. The streets are abustle with horse-drawn carriages and wagons as traders cry their wares. Rich folk and humble pick their way across the teeming thoroughfares, and the crossing sweepers are hard at work scooping up behind the more nervous pedestrians. For this is the London of yesteryear, of Queen Victoria, the London of Charles Dickens. As usual, it is Christmas. The spirit of goodwill is in the air, and in Portland Place, the crowds marvel at a public display of sound effects. The shops are crammed with festive merchandise, and as dusk falls and the gas is lit, the bright windows are soon all aglow as the excited crowds impede the progress of the fire brigade.
make way, or you'll feel the weight of my shiny helmet.
No, we like a good fire, we do.
That's why we're excited.
But come away, dear listener, away from the cheery lights and merry throng, away to this dismal street, where we find a gloomy shopfront identified in grimy lettering as the Music Emporium. Although it is Christmas, the establishment shows no sign of festivity, and within its dank interior, sitting muttering to himself at his miserable desk, we find the proprietor. None other than Ebenezer Scrumpf.
Christmas? Don't talk to me about Christmas.
Yes, I wasn't talking to you.
If you're not going to buy anything, get out of the shop.
Never had this trouble with Harry Potter. Anyway. Ah, yes. One dusty corner of the premises is labelled Piano Department. And at the piano sits Scrump's penniless clerk, Colin Crotchet. Dressed in shabby clothes and thin as a rake, Colin is very poor.
So you've heard him play.
Can I have the rest of the day off, please, Mr. Scrump?
What?
Colin was too poor even to have his own microphone.
Rest of the day off? No. But you can take a short break.
Oh, thank you.
Right, back to work. We have business to do. Look, customers.
Hello, Scrumpf.
Nice to see you, Scrumpf.
Oh, it's Tim, Barry and Graham. I didn't expect the three wittiest men in all London. And how right I was. What do you want?
We are set upon purchasing some music we can play.
Then let me direct you to Mr. Crotchet. Incidentally, it may interest you to know that Colin has recently returned from a tour of Mexico where everyone was talking about his sheet music.
Tell me, Scrump, do you have a wide selection of popular melodies?
Yes, but here at the Emporium we only specialise in cheap music. So, customers, I'd like you to come up with the titles of cut-price versions of songs that might appeal to a penny-pinching old misery guts like myself. Customer Tim, will you start, please?
Would you possibly have a copy of Tea for One by Miser Linnelli?
Do you have Come and Look at the Window Box, Maud? Or I just called to say you owe me. Or I dreamt I dwelt in Marble Arch. By chance, do you have a 7 and 6 trombone? Or My Old Man Said Cancel the Van.
Swing Low, Sweet Caricot.
How much is that doggy in the skip?
What luck. I don't have any of them. But before you go, was it you lot who spilt a gallon of black paint just outside the shop entrance?
A gallon of black paint?
We're outside the shop.
Oh, dear, yes, it was. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Well, be off with you. And never darken my doorstep again.
How are we going? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Ah, peace at last.
Can I put a piece of coal on the fire?
No. You'll fill the shop with smoke.
That's because the chimney wants cleaning.
I'm not paying the chimney sweep to shove another boy up there. Use your big brush.
Steady.
Well, there's your problem. It's full of chimney boys.
Can I get them out?
No. Wait till somebody wants to buy a boy band. Oh, what fresh hell is this?
These are carol singers, Scruff.
Carol singers? And am I to suppose you're going to accompany them?
I am.
Oh, well, all right. As long as they don't sound Christmassy. Tell them they'll have to sing the words of one carol to the tune of something else. Let's try the words of Silent Night to the tune of Tequila.
Music died away. Scrumpf stood for a moment with a contented smile upon his face, then took out the earplugs.
Season's greetings to you, Uncle Scrumpf.
The unexpected visitor was Scrumpf's nephew Fred, a tall, jolly-faced, ebullient young man in jovial mood. Fred had a prosperous look about him, having made his fortune from the sales of his travel book, Around Iceland in a Fridge.
What do you want, nephew?
I've come to invite you to join the family for our Christmas jollifications.
Can't think of anything worse. Yes, I can. Swanee Kazoo.
Come now, Uncle, you'll enjoy it. This year we're having a grand Christmas ball at the city's trendiest nightclub, the Bar Humbug.
Bar Humbug? Christmas.
The party wouldn't be the same without you, Uncle Scrumpf. Is it true that you keep a trumpet locked away in a cupboard which you never, ever play in public?
Yes.
Good. In that case, you'd be more than welcome. And I can promise you a goose.
Tempting. But my housemaid Samantha takes care of that sort of thing.
The lovely Samantha. Where is the little temptress?
She's just popped out to get the price of a meal in exchange for a fiddle. Then as soon as she gets back, she's promised Colin to polish his upright.
Busy girl.
Yes, and on a Thursday she works the Strand as an organ grinder.
Yes, but we get the picture. Well, why not bring her with you to the party?
I'm not coming to your party. Christmas, I hate Christmas and everything about it. Be off with you. You too, Crotchet. I'm going to bed in disgust.
Surely not.
You haven't seen the bed.
And so, in a foul mood, Scrumpf made his way upstairs to his frugal chamber, where he soon found himself between the sheets.
Ah, there I am.
But sleep, like laughs, would not come easily that night. And as the clock began to strike midnight, he sensed a presence in the room.
Oh,
Samantha. I've told you before not to bring them home.
But he was mistaken, for it was not the delightful Samantha. Oh, no. Looming out of the darkness appeared the figure of a man whose funeral garments and ghastly face were only too familiar to Scrumpf. It was the figure of his deceased partner, the late Jacob Marley.
Oh, 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 up, bop a loo bam a lom bam boo.
Good golly, it's Marley.
Yes, it is I, your late partner, in life even more grasping and miserable than yourself. But now, in this afterlife, I must pay the price.
Ooh!
I have come back to warn you, Ebenezer Scrumpf, and what you shall hear will curdle your blood and chill the marrow in your bones.
You're not going to sing, are you?
Yes,
Ooh!
In that case, I'd like you to sing along with some well-known songs in the game known as Pick Up Phonograph. My housemaid, Samantha, went along to the Wax Cylinder Lending Library earlier to see the kindly old archivists, who haven't been too well of late. Their lungs are becoming affected by the notorious London pea soupers, and they were worried their panting and coughing might rankle with Samantha. However, she assured them there's no problem. She says she'll let them know if sitting there with the noise of coughs and pants around her rankles. You should sing along, Marley, until at my signal Samantha turns the volume down to nothing. If on its return you're within a midge's minimum of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean prizes. What does moronic bellowing mean?
Nice!
This week's prize is sure to delight every veteran of the Crimean campaign who's keen to upgrade his soft furnishings. It's this stylish balaclava pelmet. Your song, Marley, is Gilbert and Sullivan's latest chart topper, A Wandering Minstrel Eye. And as a special treat, I'd like the narrator to join in the loud bits. Off you go.
A wandering minstrel eye, a thing of shreds and patches. Of ballad songs and snatches.
Did you just say
and
snatches?
Dreamy lullaby. My catalogue is long to every passion ranging, and to your humours changing, I tune my supple song. I tune my song.
Well, that doesn't frighten me.
Ebenezer Scrumpf, you will be visited this night by three phantoms. The ghosts will warn you to mend your ways, or else you will end up like me.
With that, Jacob Marley faded from sight amidst a frightful rattling of chains, doomed forever to roam the land as a travelling accessory sales executive for Armitage Shanks. But still sleep would not come. Scrumpf tossed and turned, and a lovely salad it was too, but he had no appetite. Then, as the clock struck 5:05, another visitor appeared at his bedside.
Ho, ho, ho!
Towering over the bed stood a merry, red-nosed fellow in a fur-trimmed robe, with a wreath of holly about his brow and a traffic cone perched amusingly on his head.
Ho, ho, ho! I am the ghost of Christmas Pissed.
You mean Christmas past.
Oh, yes, Christmas past. Easy mistake when you're pissed.
What do you want, spirit?
If you've got any, I'd prefer lager, but... First, I have something to show you. Behold!
With that, the ghostly visitor conjured a scene before the miser's astounded eyes.
Observe. A well-appointed drawing room, and on the hearth rug, why, it is the infant Ebenezer. A bonny lad in a velvet sailor suit, a lace collar about his throat, his golden locks in ringlets, and there's his lovely young mother, regarding her offspring with a slightly worried look in her eye.
Oh, infant Ebenezer, I wonder what you'll be when you're quite grown up.
I shall make you proud, mother dear. Listen to this.
How clever. I think it's time we bought you a trumpet.
A trumpet for Christmas?
Oh, no, we have a special gift in store for you. For Christmas, we are sending you away to school at Eton.
Eton? Oh, Mother, will I be bullied?
In that velvet sailor suit, I'd put money on it. But never mind. Look who has written to wish you luck.
Oh, Mama. Oh, hello, they dropped. Oh, Mama, a letter. A letter has flooded in from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. Dear Sherlock, here's a mystery for you. Why do you wear such a bloody stupid hat? I remain your obedient servant, Mrs. Trellis.
The years fly past in a twinkling, and now we see the lad at Eton College. It was here that Ebenezer Scrumpf made school history when, during a game of football, instead of kicking the ball, the new boy picked it up, leapt onto a broomstick, shot into the air... hooped the quaffle, and to the dismay of the Slytherins, actually caught the golden snitch. Then... sadly, he then sold the franchise to J.K. Rowling for a pittance. Not that I'm complaining. Nevertheless, his school career went from strength to strength.
Dear Mrs. Trellis, you'll be pleased to hear I'm now a god in pop. Though yesterday I got a rip for failing to tip the beak and I caught a fag eating my sock on mess pots. P.S. I failed my English language exam again. P.P.S. I wish I could get rid of this itch.
And so your school days fade away. See yourself now, Scrumpf, a young man in your first employment, working at the Top Hat Warehouse in Wapping for Mr. and Mrs. Toxywig.
Why, this is the Christmas party they laid on for all us young apprentices. And see there, Mrs. Toxywig herself.
Welcome, one and all. Now, before the dancing and the games begin, who wants a punch?
Yes, a... yes, a violent woman, but kind. And what a party it is. The old warehouse festooned with decorations. And everybody has been invited. The Fizzywinkles, the Crinkle Cuts, and Mr. Pobble Dobbly Corkerettle Pocket Rinky Tinky Tiddly Winky Macaroon Jillikins. Next to him, his wife, Mrs. Pobble Dobbly Corkerettle Pocket Rinky Tinky Tiddly Winky Macaroon Jillikins. And their 12 children. Albert Pobble Dollaby Corker Rattle Pocket Rinky Tinky Tiddly Winky Macaroon Jillikins. Arabella Pobble Dollaby.
Oh, shut up.
And 10 others.
Now that everyone has caught their breath after that jig, please tuck into the festive spread. There's goose and turkey and pies and pheasant, venison, grouse, partridge and boiled ham and mutton and beef and some pork chops for the vegetarians.
Dear lady, can I tempt you to a monster munch?
Oh, what? Is it Mr. Dickens?
It is.
Mr. Dickens?
It is.
Mr. Charles Dickens?
It is.
Mr. Charles Dickens?
It is.
Oh, I'm struck all of a fluster. Pardon me while I throw my apron over my face and rush from the room in hysterics. Oh, sir! Oh, whips and scorpions. I'm as tumbled as a mouse in a whirligig. All puppies at ninepence.
Dear God, and they ask me where I get my ideas from.
Is it Mr. Dickens?
You're quick.
Oh, great honour, sir. Would you be so kind as to give me your autograph? I have a copy of your latest book.
Ah, yes, Captain Whizzlepeep's Mandolin.
I say, are you writing a personal dedication?
No, it's just blasted itch.
I'm back, everybody, and it's time for our first party game. I hand you over to your master of ceremonies for the evening, Ebenezer Scrumpf.
Ha-ha! What fun I have in store for you all. Right, party girls, settle down. It's time for a round of Victorian sound charades. This is a popular parlour game whose greatest exponent of the age is little Lionel Blair, the boy wonder. And what an extraordinary child he is, having only just turned 47. In fact, Lionel is best known as a dancer who puts on grand ballroom evenings noted for the excellence of their light snacks. There isn't a fashionable young dandy in town who hasn't been seen enjoying a nibble at one of Lionel's balls. Normally, players aren't allowed to speak during charades, being the cause of much hilarious entertainment to the audience. However, this version differs at so many levels. Tim and Jeremy, your title will be relayed to our audience via Mr. Brunel's patented, steam-powered, coal-fired, brass-riveted, piston-driven, double-reciprocating, centrifugally balanced alphanumerical display engine. And here's the ghostly voice for listeners at home.
The Pirates of Penzance. The Pirates of Penzance.
OK, off you go, Tim and Jeremy.
It's four words, and it's an upmarket stage show.
Welcome to the breakfast show with Trelawney.
And Tremadoc.
Broadcasting live from the Saucy Sioux.
Sponsored by Trevithick's Pasties, the only pasty with more bone than gristle guaranteed.
Coming up, we're playing some kicking tunes. Medley of incidental music from Poldark.
Oh, look out! The Coast Guard's radio Saucy Sue is going off the air now.
Oh, we shall have to pose as drug smugglers. Good day.
Good day to you.
Start guessing, Barry and Graham.
What was it? Television. How many words?
Four. Nautical.
Yeah. Cornish, yeah. By the sound of it.
Cornish.
Sailors. Smugglers.
Sailors. Smugglers.
Think about the exact part of Cornwall that the accents pin it down to.
Oh.
That wide a brief, eh? Yeah. Including bits of Devon.
Was it Lizard and Judy?
Lizard.
Mousehole. Penzance.
Who are you calling Mousehole? No, it's Penzance, did you say?
Penzance.
Penzance.
A little river. Oh.
Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah!
That went frightfully well. Let's do some more. Wait a minute. I'll read that again. That went frightfully well. Well, let's do some more. Your turn, Barry and Graham. Here's the display board, and here's the ghostly voice for listeners at home.
Alice through the looking glass. Alice through the looking glass.
Five words.
It's a book. Here it is. Image.
Ah! Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
Not the Maserati stuck in my craw.
Oh, James, come on. What a good party it was last night.
It was, if you don't mind, 7 years bad luck.
Oh, for goodness sake, man.
What?
We had a wonderful time. You were the life and soul. When you lifted your kilt and said, "Whose sporran am I?" Oh, I laughed so much I thought it's Sketchless in the morning. Oh.
That's as maybe. That was all before the unpleasantness later on.
Oh, you mean Mrs. Nocte monopolising the cheese and pineapple hedgehog?
No, I mean the wanton destruction of my mirror.
Oh,
if I found out who's responsible.
Old friend,
what?
I know who did it.
Then who? Tell me who.
It was Peter the golfer.
No.
The end.
The trouble is, you only have to say Hamish and I'm not off, but...
Mirror. There's a mirror.
Yeah.
Got broke.
Tiger Woods. Or maybe it's Peter through the looking glass.
Oh.
Alice through the looking glass?
Yeah. Oh.
Going with it.
Oh, dear. Yes. Remember this party well, Ebenezer Scrumph. For it is here that you meet and fall in love with your future fiancée, the Toxiwig's daughter, Belle. It is a whirlwind romance.
I love you, Belle.
I love you too, Scrumph.
That's all right, then.
And what a couple you make. Belle, as pretty a picture of virtue and innocence as one might ever hope to see. And you, young Scrumph, the pinnacle of elegance, from your stovepipe hat to your drainpipe trousers, a credit to your ironmonger. But, those happy days were not to last. Oh.
Now the ghost takes the fearful miser by the hand and leads him to another place.
Half a bit of my friend, and I'll have the usual.
You're right, I've just connected a fresh barrel of lager.
Well, disconnect it and hand it over. You know the drill.
All right. There you go. Will that be all?
You know me, just the one. Have you got pork scratchings?
Yeah, caught it off Mr. Dickens.
5 seconds later and much refreshed, the ghost whirls the reluctant miser off and away to confront him with the vision of the day it all went wrong. See, we are at the newly built Albert Hall, and on this day, the crowds are gathered for the Christmas finals of the British Empire Mornington Crescent Tournament. The occasion is graced by the presence of Her Majesty Queen Victoria herself and her consort, Prince Albert.
Look, it's Victoria and Albert.
Stop staring at us.
What a pair of old relics.
We are not a museum.
What an old dear.
We are not a moose.
Oh, but that dress, it makes her look like a small street with stables in it.
We are not a muse!
As always, the Queen is accompanied by her faithful gilly, John Brown, and his brother, Gordon.
You'll have paid your VAT.
I must introduce the grand final to be played out between the reigning Mornington Crescent champion, Mr. Ebenezer Scrumph, and my own, my very own, Prince Albert.
Gott in Himmel, Victoria, not a chance I am standing.
You can do it, Albert, but only if you win.
Oh, my darling Bush!
On with the game!
Ready, play if we must. But I have to insist. Prince Albert rules.
No, he bloody doesn't.
In deference to His Royal Highness, we shall play according to the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha protocol. Queensway and King's Cross are enhanced on the laterals. Victoria counts double, and the modified Heidelberg manoeuvre applies to all stations on the Siegfried Line. Ground must be gained by playing any of the standard Royal Prussian moves, including marrying your cousin. All German-related locations count double, but Poland Street is out of bounds.
For the time being.
Very well, I shall toss for starters.
A woman of habit.
Here we go. You will call, Mr. Scrumpf, tails or me?
Me.
No, it's me. Albert, commence.
Hanover Square.
Cheapside.
You are new to this game, I think, yeah? It's a town so good they named it twice. Baden-Baden.
Bushy.
Elephant und Castle.
Aha. More.
Yes.
More.
Yes.
Morning.
Yes.
Maid of Ale.
Good, Albert. Finish him off.
Mornington Crescent.
Dear listener, pity poor Scrumpf, miserable, dejected, suffering who knows what torments. He vows never to play Mornington Crescent in public again. Yes, he proclaims that from now on he will only officiate as chairman in non-league games. Everybody is stunned.
Oh, I'm stunned? So is everybody else.
Told you. And that isn't the worst of it, for here is his pretty little fiancée, the delightful Belle, who comes to him with a heavy heart.
I see you've been to the butcher's.
Yes, I got you this heart for your tea. But, Scrumpf, after that display, you must know that I no longer love you. Goodbye.
What a shame. I'll never eat all this on my own.
With that, the vision fades. Back in his bedroom, Scrumpf recalls how, bitterly hurt and publicly humiliated, he vowed that from that day forth he would be miserable, grasping and mean. He takes out his old trumpet, dusty and neglected, and starts to clean it. But as he sits polishing his horn, an extraordinary thing happens.
Greetings, O Master. Your wish is my command.
Who are you?
I am the genie of the trumpet. And I can grant you wishes three.
Wishes three? Right, I'm wishing.
Behold!
Just what I wanted. Three tins of trumpet polish.
And he began to play.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have an interval now, and we'll finish that number after the interval.
Do you mind? There's people trying to sleep round here.
Well, tell them one of your anecdotes.
And with that, the ghost of Christmas past vanishes.
Did I tell you? Dan Lena once told me that he...
But Scrump's torment is not at an end.
Not another one.
The eerie sound comes from within an old stocking that hangs by the fireplace.
Who are you? And what are you doing in that stocking? And why are you wrapped in coloured paper tied up with a ribbon?
I am the ghost of Christmas presents.
Yes, they say the old ones are the best. And as usual, they're wrong.
Time for another visitation, and it's my turn to whisk you off.
Samantha shall hear of this.
Behold!
We are walking in the air.
Don't sing. Now you shall see how all over the world, even the poorest, humblest folk, are celebrating the joys of Yuletide.
In the dining hall of the grim orphanage, a stern-faced beadle watches the approach of a plucky little waif.
You met the waif? What do you want, boy?
Please, sir, I want some more.
More?
More? Yes, please.
Right, one jumbo turkey burger with cranberry relish and extra gherkin. Do you want fries with that?
No, sir, for I am on the Atkins diet. Oh, poor little mite. Not long for this world.
Thank you.
I didn't know you had a shotgun and good taste. But look down there.
In a storm-tossed sea, Scrumph is shown the pranksome merrymaking of a pair of humble lighthouse keepers.
Merry Christmas, lighthouse keeper Jack.
Merry Christmas, lighthouse keeper Hannibal. What's for dinner?
Something with Chianti and fava beans.
My arse.
Exactly.
What miserable place are you showing me now?
Ebenezer Scrumph, before you was the household of your clerk, Colin Crotchet. A poor hovel, but a happy one. Look, there is Mrs. Crotchet, up to her elbows in the washtub, wearily engaged in the endless chore of scrubbing her forearms. And at the table, see, there sits the Crotchet son, Big Tim.
Here, Mum, I'm starving, I am. When's Dad getting home with the Christmas whittles?
Have patience, Big Tim. Papa will be home directly.
Good evening, one and all.
Oh, it's you, medium-sized Tim. I hope you're not as hungry as your brother.
Gracious, Mama, my appetite is of a dimension so disproportionately gargantuan that I could willingly consume in its entirety a specimen of the species Equus domesticus.
Thinks. I hope my husband never finds out about me and that encyclopedia salesman. Now, come along, boys. Wash your filthy hands in the bowl. Then I can boil the water up for soup.
Hello, dear family.
Mr. Crotchet, home at last. See, I have laid out your pipe and slippers and microphone.
Thank you, dear.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, boys. But where is Tiny Tim?
He's around somewhere, but he's so tiny we can never find him.
God bless us, everyone.
Anybody?
No.
Can't find him.
I'm over here.
Why, here he is, sitting in this egg cup.
Nearly finished. There.
A flushing egg cup? Have you been wasting our money on the innovations catalogue again?
Bless you, no. It was a free gift with that last lot of encyclopedias.
Mother, father, has anybody seen my crutch?
We've all seen it, dear. Why do you think we call you Tiny Tim?
Do yourself up, boy.
Now, Mr. Crutchet, has Mr. Scrumph given you a handsome Christmas bonus so that your family may enjoy a seasonal feast?
No, not a bean, not a sausage.
What about a turkey?
Oh, yes, he gave me a turkey. But it was so small, it fell out through a hole in my pocket.
Why, the devilish old skinflint, he condemns us to yet another miserable yuletide of poverty and hunger.
Don't despair, dear family, I'm always here to cheer you up. I say, why do demons and ghouls get on so well together?
Why?
Because demons are a ghoul's best friend. What do you call a ghost's mother and father?
Go on, Ed.
Transparence. What kind of monster can sit on your fingertip?
No.
A bogeyman.
See how the little mite overexerts himself to raise the spirits of his family.
Tell me, ghost, will Tiny Tim die?
With that material, it's a racing certainty.
What an unfortunate family. I could weep if I wasn't smiling so broadly.
Yes, poverty is a great source of evil, as you shall see from these two allegorical figures.
With that, the spirit revealed two dreadful children, eyes staring from hollow sockets, thin, sharp, bony fingers grasping, and all the time a hideous mewling issuing from their thin lips.
This child is named Want, and the other one is Deck.
Mewling, mewling.
The horror.
Want and Deck are always with us.
Once again, the clock strikes 5 past midnight. The ghosts of Christmas past and Christmas present have come and gone. But now another spectre appears. The cowled figure stands motionless and in silence.
Hold on, I'm getting the hang of this. Speak, Phantom, tell me who you are.
I am the ghost of Queen Boudicca.
Wait a minute, what happened to the ghost of Christmas yet to come?
He was delayed due to unforeseen circumstances. But it's an easy gig, so I set a debt for him. After all, it is Christmas.
Christmas? Bah, humbug.
Bah, humbug!
You know, you sound remarkably like Queen Victoria.
Two for the price of one. I'm on special offer. Now, let's get down to business. No, please yourself, you regret it. Ebenezer Scrumpf. Behold the bleak future.
Why, it's my old music shop, even more run-down and dismal than before.
Because next door is a bright new music shop.
I say, Barry, our bright new music shop is doing a roaring trade and no mistake.
I agree, Tony. Business is booming.
See how the customers flock to your rivals. Boozy and Hawks.
I shall be ruined.
Look upon the horrors that lie ahead if you turn your back upon society and neglect to mend your ways.
What is that infernal contraption?
This is called a wireless set. I turn this knob. No, this knob. And what misery ensues!
Hello on BBC Radio 4. It's I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. And here's your chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
And there's worse. There's the extended version of quote-unquote. And rolling 24-hour you and yours. And there's even worse than that.
Where are we now? What is this grim and forbidding building? Is it the Fleet Prison?
No, it is the BBC. And inside, the governors are planning their schedules. Perhaps you'd like to help.
Good idea. Right, governors. Can we have your suggestions, please, for a Victorian Radio Times?
There's a saucy late night one here on Channel 4. V. Oscar Wilde.
And we have Ibiza Covered.
I'm a British soldier in the black hole of Calcutta. Get me out of here.
Can't cook, don't have to cook. Cook will cook.
Buffy, the Empire Slayer.
And on Channel 5, hilarious video clips of explorers in You've Been Found.
We have Ali G in Dab Workhouse. followed by It's Only TB, But I Like It.
Crimea Watch.
Vile Excrescences of the Human Pudenda and the City.
EastEnders, in tonight's episode, Jack the Ripper wants a word with Phil Mitchell.
Have I got Zulus for you?
And on Radio 4, gardeners and other servants, question time.
The New Things Roadshow.
Right, that's enough of that. Why are you showing me the Crotchet's home spirit?
Oh, Scrumpf, see how the Crotchet family sit in silent sadness. See the empty chair, the little crotch leaning by the fireplace, and Tiny Tim is nowhere to be seen. Oh, that's better.
I'm getting worried about you, Tiny Tim. You're beginning to sound like Queen Boudicca.
Hello, family.
Oh, Colin, did you open the front door yourself? What a clever pianist you are. You normally can't find the key and never know where to come in.
I'll have you know, my Rachmaninoff recital went incredibly well last night.
I always said your music had magical powers. Remember the time you made that blind man deaf?
Yes. At last, I'm getting the recognition I deserve.
This is terrible.
Never mind, it's nearly over.
Oh, it's Jacob Marley and the Wailers.
Ebenezer Scrumpf, I hope you have learnt your lesson.
Never mix the grain with the grape, unless you're making muesli.
What lesson are you talking about?
Well, you know, about miserable skinflints and Christmas, how much good you can bring, you know, Darwin and all that sort of thing, end of the world.
Hey, 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 don't all speak at once. Take it one word at a time. Actually, this reminds me of a game called Cheddar Gorge. This has spawned many more parlour games, taking their titles from food-related items. One recalls Steak Tartare, which involves saying goodbye to a dead vampire. Then there's Cottage Pie, a geometry game played by gentlemen on Hampstead Heath. And, of course, we mustn't forget Victoria Sponge, a delightfully saucy game where the winner gets to take a bath with Her Majesty the Queen. In Cheddar Gorge, each player exchanges a word in turn in order to construct a coherent sentence, the object being not to complete the sentence. If I detect a full stop has been reached, you'll hear this as I kick my pet baby elephant. And the culprit will face transportation to Australia and be forced to endure hard labour and made to teach the locals how to play rugby. So, ghosts, I'd like you to sum up the moral of this story, starting with you, Ghost of Christmas Present.
Ebenezer.
I
am
urging
you
to
go
and
take
a
swift
look
at
some
people
with
whom
I
know
that
you
are
acquainted.
Them.
Them. Do or otherwise
engaged
in
which
I
predict
that
some
people
will
immediately
go
forth
and
multiply
by
observing
artificial
cream
which
is
smeared
liberally
or
lavishly
upon
those
who
wish
to
see
what
they
can
look
like
when
smeared
lavishly
or
they
can
also
make
others
syllabub
which
they
can
smear
sparingly
on
their
buttocks.
Well, I'll certainly bear that in mind.
It is the morning of the following day, and what a bright, cold, cheery morning it is, too. It looks like snow. It's white and it falls from the sky to... Do you know, I think it is snow. Ebenezer Scrumpf wakes in an unusually merry mood. He calls out to a passing urchin. The streets are full of them. following the flood at the Baker Street Aquarium.
You there, what day is this?
I don't know.
Damn. You just can't trust these fruits de mer. I know, those passers-by all have newspapers. They'll know the date, and I can also catch up with the news. Passers-by, I'd like you to come up with some typical headlines from our national newspapers commemorating the events of Victorian times.
Guardian. Goldstone becomes Prime Minister.
The Sun. Jim Davidson to entertain troops in Crimea. Light Brigade volunteer for Valley of Death.
The Sport. Lady Windermere opens 100% genuine photos.
Daily Mail. Mrs. Beaton quits lucrative cooking gig to run Norwich City.
The Sun. See our page three stunner. What a pair of ankles.
Mirror. Arriva Trains apologise for delayed Stevenson's rocket. This is due to the wrong kind of Lord Huskisson on the track.
Manufacturer recalls thousands of penny-farthing bicycles after one wheel found to be ludicrously bigger than the other. I can't think how we missed it, says quality control manager.
Nothing in the papers, then. But there is one thing I still need to know. What day is this?
It's Christmas Day!
At that, Scrumpf claps his hands with glee and calls down to a passing boy.
You there, run to the butcher's and buy me the biggest, plumpest, finest goose in the shop. Here are two golden guineas.
Right, old Gov.
He's off like the wind, down the road, into the high street, past the butcher's and is never seen again. Undaunted, Scrumpf races downstairs and makes his way to Isambard Kingdom Brunel's novelty shop.
Izzy Brunel at your service. How may I help you, sir?
Good morning. I'm Ebenezer Scrumpf, a reformed character. I wish to buy a wide range of gifts.
My staff will be happy to assist you just as soon as you've got dressed.
Oh, I seem to have come out in my nightgown.
Yeah, they do have a habit of popping open.
Not to worry, it's Christmas. So, staff, it's time to examine items that might feature in Mr. Isambard Kingdom Brunel's innovations catalogue.
Gentlemen, surprise your good lady with this amusing novelty ring. By kind permission of the inventor, His Royal Highness Prince Albert. Actual size may vary.
For the busy man about town, the combined top hat and travelling commode.
The rotary nose hair clipper, the sailing ship that follows a circular route bringing nose hair from the colonies to the Lancashire weaving mills.
The season's new game, Tomb Raider, consists of a torch and a crowbar.
Ladies, are your lap dogs always the wrong size? Why not treat yourself to a set of these adjustable spaniels?
New from the world of clockwork, the wind-up DVD player. Simply insert key and wait 150 years for the goodies DVD.
But while Scrumpf gleefully makes his purchases, not far away, at the home of the Crotchets, Colin and his family sit around their pathetic Christmas spread.
Shall I carve?
Why bother? It's only a sardine. Oh, Mr. Crotchet, the shame of it! A single solitary sardine for Christmas dinner!
Look on the bright side, dear. No arguments about who gets a leg.
Oh, what does it matter as long as we're all together?
And you can shut your face.
May I come in?
I knew it would be you. It's Mr. Scrump. And his arms are laden with gifts.
Yes, I simply had to come round to wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
What? Come and sit you down. I'll move these encyclopedias.
What's this? A sardine? Delicious. Well, I must be on my way. I have these... I have these presents to deliver and a Christmas ball to go to. Goodbye.
Bastard!
And wonder of wonders, we now see the old tight-fist Ebenezer Scrumpf kicking up his heels and having a high old time at his nephew Fred's grand Christmas ball at that trendiest of night spots, the Bar Humbug. And what a party it is. The men trying on each other's top hats and the women comparing their Miriam Margulies impressions.
Great party, Fred.
Glad to see you having fun, Uncle. What's this? Is your lovely housemaid Samantha not with you?
No, sadly Samantha is suffering from housemaid's knee in both legs.
I'm sorry to hear it.
No, it's all right. Knees apart, she can't be faulted.
So I believe, but I'm forgetting I've invited a surprise guest to join us.
Hello, Scrumpf.
This is Belle, the beautiful fiancée who once jilted you.
I have a gift for you, Ebenezer.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely. I shall wear it always.
It's a pencil box.
Oh, Belle, why did I let you go? What a fool I was in those days. Will you marry me?
No.
How about me, then?
No, thanks.
I'll marry you, Fred.
Result!
What care I, as long as everyone's happy? And still the guests arrive. Who are all these people? Will somebody kindly introduce me to all these late arrivals at the Victorian Christmas ball? Nephew Fred, will you start, please?
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Nage of Steam and their daughter, Golda Nage of Steam.
Mr. and Mrs. Wilde and their flamboyant son, Marty.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. of the D'Urbervilles and their daughter, Shirley.
Mr. and Mrs. She Has with John Brown and their daughter, Bette.
Mr. and Mrs. Your Poo Out the Window and their son, Chuck Your Poo Out the Window.
From Ireland, Mr. and Mrs. O'Prussian War 1870 to 71 and their son, Frank O'Prussian War 1870 to 71.
Mr. and Mrs. Calcutta and their son, Black Olaf Calcutta.
Mrs. That Boy Up the Chimney, would you, and her father, Pop?
Mr. and Mrs. Glow Egyptian War 1882 and their daughter, Anne Glow Egyptian War 1882.
And will you welcome Mrs. Bennett? I cannot believe our daughter is to marry Mr. Darcy. And her husband, Mr. Bennett, I cannot believe.
And finally, will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Colin Crutchett and family? Not very witty, but it moves the plot along.
Hello. 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 Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
But what are they doing here?
I sent them an invitation. You see, I've seen the future, and it's the wireless. I've devised something called a panel game, and you're all to take part. There are your microphones, and while you take your places, I'll play this wax cylinder.
It's I'm sorry I haven't a clue. A panel game. At the piano is Colin Crutchett, and your chairman is Ebenezer Scrumpf.
Hello, and you join us today at the Bar Humbug in picturesque Clerkenwell. Clerkenwell has a very interesting history, but there's no time for that now. Here beside me, recovered from her recent indisposition, is my assistant Samantha, a fine young lady and a model of propriety. At the piano, we're lucky to have that genius of the keyboard, my good chum, Colin Crotchett. Of course, no panel game is complete without a collection of the cleverest and most amusing people in the land. And here they are. Now let's play some entertaining games. What larks. I'm looking forward to this hugely.
This isn't going to work.
No. No, he's being nice.
Where's the fun in that?
Ooh.
Well, hello, Marley. It's so nice to have you back where you belong.
Ooh.
Ebenezer Scrump. Nice pencil box, by the way. Ebenezer Scrump, you should have paid heed when I tried to warn you. Resist the temptation to change your ways. Your career will depend on you being a grumpy old misery guts. It's an image thing. Everyone preferred you the way you were, and so I say to you, I urge you, I beg you...
Time's up.
No, Marley's right. We don't like this new nice scrumph.
But there's nothing that will turn me back into the bad-tempered old curmudgeon you once knew.
Yes, there is. Let's have a round of Swanee Kazoo.
Actually, you've just hit on the one thing that will do it. In fact, nothing would give me greater pain than to sit through a rendition of White Christmas featuring Tim and Graham on the Swanee whistle and everyone else on the kazoo.
And I'll play the piano.
Well, burst my shirt and paint me green.
Let's do it!
Ladies and gentlemen, as the nuts of time roast gently before the fireplace of eternity, and the plump bird of fate receives the stuffing of a lifetime, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the players, Samantha, and the fine folk of old London town, it's goodbye.
I'm Sorry I Haven't a Christmas Carol was narrated by Stephen Fry and starred Humphrey Littleton as Ebenezer Scrump, Colin Sell as his assistant Crotchett, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and Jeremy Hardy as the ghosts, Tony Hawkes as Fred, Sandy Toxvig as Mrs. Toxiewig, Linda Smith as Mrs. Crotchett and Andy Hamilton as Prince Albert. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The programme was written by Graham Garden and Ian Pattinson with contributions from the cast. Music was performed by Humphrey Littleton, Adrian McIntosh, Hutton and Colin Sell at the piano. The producer was John Naismith.